Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Welcome to another episode of Creative Inclinations. This is a one-on-one conversation-based podcast about art, music, culture, entertainment, and more with me, your host, David Steele. And today, we have some very special guests, Bugnog.
That's us. It's really kind of a one-on-two.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess that is true.
You're outnumbered.
Which is interesting because that's been my kind of dream is to do like full bands, you know what I mean? But like, it's like, I don't know how much more room.
Well, you're talking to the drummer, the guitar player, and the bass player.
We do have a full band.
Whole band here.
But yeah, it worked out because there's two of you. I can handle that at least at this level. But eventually, I would definitely want to get, you know, some all kinds of bands in here, you know what I mean? So yeah, you guys are Bugnog, a metal band from Norman, Doom Sludge.
Doom Sludge.
Also, like I saw somewhere online that was groove metal is
a little bit of groove, a little bit of rocking.
And is that
that radio station said occasionally thrashy, occasionally doomy, sometimes mathy, but always heavy.
Hell
so
yeah.
we try to at least.
Brett Steelkamp, was that him?
Yeah.
No,
that was RSU.
RSU.
Okay. But, yeah, I've heard of those guys.
But we try to keep it heavy and try to keep it metal. I just kind of that was the vision of this project.
Mm-hmm. Just the heaviness, right?
The heaviness.
I'll take credit for the groove.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it though, because I think that's kind of what was most interesting to me about you guys. I listened to your album, both albums, the EP and the album today, and kind of went through it and just to kind of pick out stuff or you know think about what I wanted to ask. But one thing that stuck out to me was just the guitar work and like the kind of you know some of that kind of you know old school metal like Black Sabbath type riffs and stuff
for sure yeah so, and so when I'm doing like live stuff I'm like I have a split rig so I'm running bass guitar at the same time as I'm doing a guitar and then I'll loop that and like solo over that and it's really fun to do and sometimes I fuck it up and we've been working recently on like
practice specifically for like, hey, I'm gonna intentionally fuck it up.
Yeah. And like, that's cool. Like, so you can kind of recover. I like that.
Right. Lift the guitar. Yeah, we come back in. Right. I hit the thing. A lot of it is just like I don't know. I hit the button wrong.
And, it's kind of cool though. I mean, it's good to kind of try to prepare for everything. You know.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with the album, it's a lot. You know, we can pay attention more to the tones of all the guitars and bass and everything and have an actual bass guitarist. Yeah, but I don't want a bass guitarist. Mm-hmm. Not looking for one.
Definitely. And this is kind of nice.
No offense.
I mean, I wish, because I think that's one of the things about playing in a band is like, I mean, it's so hard to keep a full band together of any kind of when you have more than like 2, 3, 4 people. And so it's like having the two of you guys is probably much easier to, you know, make sure.
You just be like, yo, you want to do this?
It's a lot easier to schedule.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no. I'm like currently trying to do some other projects with more people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, every time I tell him, I'm just like, I missed you today.
Right.
I
missed
you. Right. He called me up the other day. He was like, dude. Dealing with all of that made me seriously miss you.
Yeah, like, make sure you appreciate what you got. Yeah,
because I'm one guy. I'm not four other people.
Right.
Like, you have to deal with that crap.
Yeah, so that's. I think that is one of the hardest things about playing in a band is just the logistics sometimes. Mm-hmm. But so you guys are Bug Nog. Let's see.
He's Bug.
Yeah, Bug and Nog. You're the drummer and vocalist, and you play guitar and bass and vocals.
Right, we do dual yell.
I like it. So yeah, I kind of wanted to start us off with maybe some of... I always like these podcasts when you kind of dive back to the beginning. And I'm talking about, like, my first question is kind of like, where does each of your musical journeys start? You know what I mean? Like, go back to childhood kind of thing, like... You know, either of you kind of have any
separately. Separately, totally I think we both kind of did similar starts of like we both were in band. Mm-hmm. We went to the same high school.
Oh, okay, you guys kind of grew up together.
That's awesome. He was a grade ahead of me, so we were in each other's spheres. Mm-hmm, we could stand each other most out of each other's friends.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like out of my friends, he didn't like very many of them, but he liked me the most and out of his friends.
Yeah.
Not that those people aren't bad, but
yeah. No. It's just, he was the one I most would, I guess, identify with.
Yeah.
Fifth grade on to senior, you know, and we were both low brass, in band, tuba, trombone for me. So
you guys start. That's where you started playing together, technically, in a way.
Technically, yeah. that's where we started.
We were in the same 125 piece band together. Yeah. So sure.
Shout out to Scott Hillick and
was it like
and Julie Arnold? Yeah, right. For sure.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Was it like for the marching band kind of?
Yeah, marching band and concert band. Yeah,
okay, cool.
Awesome. I quit my senior year because I gave him an ultimatum. I said, I'm not carrying this heavy ass tuba around anymore. Let me switch to something.
Yeah.
And he said no, so I said goodbye and I went on to I did some choir.
Could have gone euphonium.
I did choir and some theater, I branched out a little bit.
Yeah, that's very good.
Would have totally done theater.
It was fun. I played the lead villain. Evil. I'm the evil one for sure. He's the good guy.
Cool. On the surface.
Continuing like our first, probably our first project together, I was like in some punk bands and stuff, and he was kind of like in some more metalish bands. But then I was like, I want to do this like emo screamo project, and I wanted electronic drums.
Right, but hey, even before that, like in his punk band, he came over and recorded at my house because I had this shitty Fostex 8-track recorder that I still have the card on but it was a compact flash drive. It's, it's like half the size of a 3-inch floppy disk.
Right.
You know,
who's been my recorder for like almost 2 decades.
That's
basically
awesome.
Yeah, right. So we recorded that in there, you know, and it sounded great. I mean, because we didn't know any better,
right?
And just did it out there in the parents' garage. And we were sitting here, 16, 17 years old. That was about the same time that I got my first, my electronic Roland V, what is it? A TD-12 is what it is. I still have that thing.
Is that electric?
Yeah, that's with the electronic kit with the mesh heads. Yeah, they're all 8-inch heads, so you got to be like really.
I see.
Don't miss. Yeah. Although there's another separate sound that you get when you hit the rim, so I would just set that to the same sound. Cool. So I cheated. But anyway, we recorded recorded that stuff from his punk band.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded great, and. I don't know what happened. Might have made it to MySpace. That's way back before.
Anyway, fast forwarding.
Yeah.
So this is all probably like before 2005.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
for sure.
After 2005, I started another like kind of like a prog rock band with a little bit of heaviness to it. and it was a two-piece for a while because I guess I'm really hard to work with, apparently.
Or, or that's the only thing that ever kind of is able to continue if, like, less people sometimes.
Right. So we had that drummer, and eventually we added a bass player, which was this guy.
Oh, cool.
So he was the bass player, that band, The Sleepless Continuum.
Yeah, I played guest bass at a few shows, you know, here and there. You know, Studio 360, the old conservatory, which is now 89th Street.
Okay. I've definitely played at the 89th. But when
It's a great venue.
When it was the conservatory. It was like 2008 or something like that.
You gotta walk through the crowd to load your stuff.
I know, like...
Yeah, because the green room was like outside.
The layout was bullshit.
The new stage is beautiful, or at least compared to that.
It's way
They turned it from from like a 100-person venue into like a 300-person venue. Okay, you know what I mean? Like
they really stretched it out.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so anyway, so we played through that for a couple years together up until probably like 2010-ish or so, and then we just kind of eventually split up, and we don't really play together for 5 or 6 years. And then I
recorded an album at the time, you know, like that wasn't 20.
It was like 2010-ish.
Yeah, 2010.
So like 2017, 2018, I'm like, I discover stoner doom metal.
Okay.
And like, cause I'd like some metal, and he'd like shown me metal. Like we were more like prog and although
Mike Portnoy like is a big guy for me. Like, and you know, Chris Adler, Lamb of God. Yeah. That's where the groove kind of comes
from.
The
metal. Yeah.
Right. So, but then I find this genre that's about smoking weed and being in the riff. And I was like, I think I like this. And then, medicalization comes around too, so I'm just like, now it's even easier too. And so I just sit back and write a whole bunch of
you made stoner metal legal.
exactly You are now licensed to riff.
It's awesome.
So I come out and I'm writing stuff. I'm like, there's only one dude that can match me on this, and it's
awesome. So you just called him up and was like, let's do this.
And we had kind of like talked here and there, whatever, when we would see each other, like you know, like what if we made like a metal band,
that's awesome,
you know?
Yeah, that's cool, because like that's something that I've never been super into metal. I mean, I like a lot of the old, like, 70s, you know, 70s metal, right? Like,
okay, there you go.
I love all that.
70s jazz fusion, so, like, all, like, Return to Forever, like Mahavishnu Orchestra, and but, all these older stuff. Anyway,
It's like, I don't know a ton of groups other than, like, the major, you know, Black Sabbath and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne type stuff. Like, of course, like, but to me, somehow, like, metal changed. It must have been, like, in the 80s and 90s where it's, like, unrecognizable to me anyways, like, and that's when I from that era on I'm like, it's not for me. I like the shredding, like the heavy, like fast guitar, but like I guess when it gets into like the vocals and like the heavy screaming and growling and stuff, it's like I appreciate all music. That's
right there,
but it's like, for whatever reason, it's like I said, it's never been my jam. But of course,
I totally feel it.
But yeah, but when you said doom metal, that's something I want to, because it's
funny.
Like,
a lot of those bands have a lot of clean vocals in doom metal bands.
I think that's what's different, because there's a band, Rainbows Are Free. I'm sure you know them.
Oh, yeah.
I love them. Like, and they're like, kind of a heavy, you know, one of the heavy bands that I fuck with. You know what I mean?
They've been around for a long time too. So like this iteration coming back has been holding strong. Yeah. So it's been cool to see what they're coming out with.
I saw them at the deli, you know, like 10 years ago.
Right?
Way back in the day.
Yeah, I definitely remember the name. I never got to see them live until maybe 2017 or 18, I think, I think the current lineup, I guess. But yeah, they're incredible. So like I said, when it comes to doom metal, I think that's definitely where I kind of fit into, if I do in that genre.
I think a lot of people just like don't know, when they hear metal, they hear like Lamb of God, they hear like Meshuggah, they hear all these other bands that have super heavy vocals,
aggressive,
right? And so here's a thing that can, like, you know, doom and sludge kind of crossover and stuff, like Weed Eater. This dude's going back and seeing Weed Eater way back in the day, and you know, I just saw them like recently down in Dallas, so they've been going that long, like,
yeah,
Well,
tell it, Brent. Yeah. Tell it. We're on the podcast.
Like ad nauseum. I went and saw Weed Eater with ASG, who I would love to see again. Get it over here. Yes. Ah, and I smoked a blunt with Weed Eater.
Oh, he's got stoner doom cred.
I got a little bit of cred. Awesome.
He's got a little bit of cred.
I smoked a blunt with Weed Eater outside the back of the Opolis after I saw him with ASG.
That's awesome.
And they couldn't hang. He called out Dixie.
Oh, shit.
Dixie's like, I'm done. I was like, there's still a third of this thing left, man. And they were waiting on a dude to bring them mushrooms. They were like, you know, the guy should be here. Like, and they were checking their phones. Like, he said he was supposed to be here 10 minutes ago. I'm like, that's going to happen.
That's every drug dealer I ever met. Right.
Dude. Like, okay, so come on. Anyway. You know, I don't have it here, so you got to get in my car. And then we got to go to this other guy's house. And then we got to hand him the money, and then he's got to go get it.
Back
in the
day.
Such is the way of illegality, yes.
Right. Way back in the day.
No, I'm familiar with that. I've definitely.
So glad. That's why I'm so glad medicalization came around. It took around all
it's like, there's something about it,
too. We're like one of the most liberal states with it, which is wild.
Yeah. There's like hardly any rules or regulations. It's so dumb. But it's like, I do love the legalization because it's like, you don't feel like you're, you know, you just go to the store and pick some up. It's like, you don't have to like make this whole thing about it, you know. It's like, you don't have to like take a whole afternoon off to go get it. It's so much easier.
All right, you're gonna stay here, and I'm gonna go. Here's a shotgun. If anybody comes in there, blast them.
It's like it's less dangerous than it's ever been. It's like, oh my god. So that's awesome. So you talked obviously about some of your musical influences. So like, one question I'm always interested in, it's like, when you're like, can you think of like when you're like really, really young and like seeing something on TV or something like someone that made you, why you got into music at all, or you know what I mean? Like, I'm always curious about those like very young childhood moments. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you think of anything. If not, it's not a big deal.
Carlos Santana, Rob, whatever his face, Smooth. Santana Supernatural was my jam for a little while. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just Latin fusion guitar. I was just
cool.
Dude, I grew up Southern Baptist, man. Okay. So I went out at the Lloyd Noble Center. I know, right? Yeah, gospel. But I love those. You got it. I've listened to gospel. You got chops to play
that
stuff.
I like some gospel, like the vibe for sure. Some of the Southern type elements.
But I went to see fucking Switchfoot and
Christian.
And Skillet.
Okay. Yeah.
Skillet.
Yeah, and Switchfoot and Skillet, man, at the Lloyd Noble parking lot in this. And Newsboys. So that was like,
not even the center of the parking lot.
It was in the parking lot in a big ass like inflatable dome thing. And here's the thing:
It wasn't Winter Jam,
but I did go to the Winter Jam the next year. Yeah. Anyway, the thing that was memorable about that, it was probably the most metal moment. I mean, so the Newsboys singer is as bald as you are, and they had a big ass disco ball. The band covers it. Anyway, the disco ball, man, this thing, you know, it's like 16 inches across, and you know, or so. And it fell and glanced off the top of his head, off the side of his head.
Yeah.
And he was just bleeding. And he's still singing.
Yeah,
and he goes and grabs, and he's just like holding a rag up here and like singing the rest of the set. Yeah.
Damn.
Like, it was hardcore. Crazy. Yeah. Like, I was like, holy shit.
Devil was trying to bring him down, but he said, not today. Jesus is my crutch of my cross.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong religion. Yeah, no, that was nuts. I was just like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
You do that? Like, you don't just go, hang on, we got to pause so we can go get a Band-Aid or something. I don't know. Like, I was, I must have been 14 years old at that time, and I was like, like, go and get it fixed. No, they just kept on going, you know?
That's awesome. That's interesting, experience for sure. And just, I think.
But that was probably that was like my first, like, rock and roll concert. Yeah.
I think I was definitely in high school. I think, you know what's funny? My first ever show was Tenacious D.
Oh, that's fuck off. That's awesome.
They played at like the Coca-Cola Event Center or whatever in downtown.
I know,
and I was probably like 15, 16, maybe. I don't know, but yeah. But yeah, that was a weird one for me because, I don't know, it kind of makes sense because now I'm still hanging out. Yeah, it's great music, for sure. Totally sucks, you motherfucker. But like, but something about that, it's interesting to think about that just now because obviously I've always thought, you know, known that it was my first concert, but even today it's like, it's comedy and music combined, yeah, and it's totally. Like still what I'm doing with, in a way. I'm not a stand-up comic, but I know some. I'm very good friends with a lot of them now, and I'm obsessed with it in a way. Just I'm obsessed with all performance of any kind. If it's on a stage, and you're performing something original that you created, it's like the best thing ever for me.
first like secular show, I think it was gonna be. Kiss and Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And that was in 2003. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had this like weird band that opened up for him called the Porch Ghouls. Mm. And he had a drum kit that was a suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, and then the little pocket kit thing.
I think I've seen some other variations of that.
and then Kiss opened up for Aerosmith. Like Aerosmith closed it out, mm-hmm. which was insane to mm-hmm. me. Like, why would you do that? Like, you know, the greatest band on earth, Kiss, you know, and obviously Gene Simmons sucks, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, like, as far as show goes, right.
Yeah, it's, why would but you that's do kind that? Of one but of those,
like, blew my hair back. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
That's definitely, it's one of those are like literally two of the most famous rock bands in the world. So it's kind of like who's bigger, who's going to be, it's kind of, it could go either way, I feel like. On
as far as
day.
Name goes.
They're like, okay, whoever can finish this line is the fastest, is the winner.
It's this big.
Yeah.
And so fucking, you know, what's his face? Steven Tyler won.
Yeah, yeah, Steven Tyler was totally, yeah.
He was like, for sure.
Yeah, Eric Carr just couldn't get it done. He's like, I'm a cat.
Nice.
But that was, that was the first, like, real. And then the next year, I saw Metallica for the first time with Godsmack.
We're going to hear his whole history.
Yeah, no. But that's it. Yeah, yeah. Hey.
No, I'm curious. But like I said, I think it's great to, like I said, to hear.
No, and then after that, influence. No.
Circling back to the blunt with Dixie.
Yeah.
So what about today? Like, who are you into now? Like, is there any, like, I don't know, new artists or anyone that you're, like, obsessed with?
Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that name.
They are out of Austin, Texas, and they are kind of like, they're some groove metal, mm-hmm. but they just styles. Do it the best. And our boy Sean, shout out the drummer. He's an awesome killer. Dude.
He's the nicest guy.
And then Leo, the guitarist and songwriter, he's just writing some of the sickest riffs and along with the catchiest hooks. And it's just like seeing them work really hard and get up on these big national stages and playing and going overseas to Europe and playing at like Desert Fest and all these other places. It's so cool to see them when they're, you know, they're coming up to Oklahoma like early 2020 playing to smaller fucking shows, and we're opening with them at the High Low.
Yeah, that's funny because and I've definitely seen that name before. Like if it's like
they're not getting the love that Chet Pile is.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now Chet Pile. Chet Pile is another.
That's another one. I've never. I mean, I'm familiar with Chet Pile. I'd never heard that name until like a year ago, though. It seemed they just kind of popped up. And I feel like on
they had a on quick rise. They've been around for a little while, and then they just because like Dallas Beltway was like one of their songs, I think, back earlier that I was digging on, and then they had that God's Country album, and that kind of get them a little and bump, and then after that, boom, and then
that's awesome.
And I mean, they just have a very unique sound, and that fucking vocalist,
really raw, like
Ray Gunn,
he's
tapped into something. Like the end of like a Grimace smoking weed JPEG is just like a man screaming into the void with the rawest voice ever, and I'm just like, this is some art. This made me feel something. Yeah. So they have that intensity that kind of, and they're like, you know, they did a lot of home stuff, and so the scene that they kind of came up in Oklahoma City at the Sanctuary, we played a couple times there. Otis VCR is another.
Yeah, I've heard that name.
Grandpa Varian, we played with.
Yeah, Otis VCR was at a Norman Music Festival.
Room, yeah. They were a guest room, right?
Guest Fest, I think is what they're officially calling it. But yeah, whatever. No, I was out there and seeing all the kids, you know, good and well, fucking windmilling and stuff.
I was jealous of his drum kit. Yeah, he's got that Mapex Black Panther kit.
But yeah, so metal is, there's a lot of local bands that do good stuff that are getting, you know.
And you know, Chatpile, you know you've made it when one of your like random friends comes over to your house and is wearing a Chatpile shirt that they bought at Goodwill.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I found this shit at Goodwill. So it was out in circulation. I was like, dude, that's a cool-ass shirt. Like, what is that?
And he was like, I don't know.
And I looked at it. I was like, it's Chatpile,
randomly
dude.
Found it. Yeah. Didn't even know the band.
It was that four-panel It was that four-panel comic
They branded really well. Yeah. Like, I was at their Halloween show before they went out on this Cool World tour. And there was one of those fans just like, I've bought every piece of merch and t-shirt and everything. And I'm just like, I don't blame you. It's some cool fucking shit.
That's what's something that is interesting. I mean, I think that metal groups seem to have like some of the coolest or most unique designs and things like that. It's an interesting thing, especially whenever you get into like the lettering, like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is so like
Satan and weed.
So unique and like cool, like and
see, and this is where I shouldn't have given you the shirt until just now. Fucking see it.
I'm gonna grit it.
Show it off. Hey, come on.
Yeah, it's I just think
I was like, we have larges out the ass.
Y'all stuff is I like the logo.
It's supposed to be like
there's a bong right there, and then there's a little chalice. Right
Yeah.
It's supposed to be kind of modeled off of like Lord of the Rings. You know?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, the Travelers. You know, like the two.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it. Nolan would know. That's another band that we love.
Psychotic Reactions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I need it.
I could go for one. Put one on standby. Yeah, for sure.
Take care. Oh, they're behind you.
I got
don't open that one. Wait 30 minutes.
We'll leave that for you. Right there.
He hasn't been drinking 2 years. He's not going to break that now.
No, I know.
No.
God damn. All right. Sorry. Back onto it. Anyway.
More motivation.
I honestly, like, people like, because I'll do these like house parties here. I have over the past 5 years or so. We play right there in the living room. Yeah. Like, next time for sure, I'll let you know.
No, there would be no room for any people because his drum set would take up the other whole half, and then the other half would be my rig.
That's something like I'm hesitant to keep doing them. They're always very successful. People love house shows, and like
For sure, yeah. My wife went to Norma Jean that house show that they when they came through OKC a couple of years ago, or I guess it was 20. Man, I think it was 2020. It might have been 2021. It was during that. Yeah, it was. It was during all that crap.
I love it. I just wish, like I said, I want a bigger place. I mean, I like this house a lot. I think
it's nice.
If it was like, you know, like that room, the rehearsal space, it's like a little bit too small, especially if you get anyone.
Nobody
more
can
than
see
like
that.
Three
this
people.
House is 7,000 square
but,
feet.
But yeah,
it's
I
huge.
Wish. Yeah, one day I'm gonna upgrade and so I rent this. It's like I would love to buy a house and get a little bit bigger and do more with it. Have better house shows, more rehearsal space.
My house is this size, and he brought his kid over, and we were setting up for practice, and she's kind of like looking around, and she's there for less than 10 minutes. She's like,
"This house
is your house is a little smallish."
Yeah. See, like, her exact words were, "Your house isn't as big as." Oh my god! And he just interrupted.
I was like, "I knew it was gonna happen."
"Oh my god! Your kid's
this
over
kid.
Here for 5 seconds.
This
and says my house is small." And the thing is my house isn't actually all that much.
He's got the vaulted ceiling.
Yeah,
that's the only
difference. That's the thing. Yeah, he's got the tall ceilings. It feels
anyway.
So I kind of have a couple of questions, a couple more, just kind of on.
Let's talk about the housing market.
I need to talk to someone about that, but this isn't the time. I guess kind of like on the genre of metal music, I was just curious, like, are you guys interested in? Obviously, you have played in other bands. You mentioned prog rock. I mean, I'm always interested in like. you know, your style is your style, and I think it's you're doing it well, so I don't know that you need to change it, but would you ever consider, like, doing different styles or evolving the style
of that you play? We thought about doing an acoustic version, maybe acoustic version of a couple songs, so
five or six songs or whatever.
Maybe changing up the style on that.
But yeah,
I don't know what style we would go to.
What's that band that you're playing with now?
I don't know.
Sound like somebody in particular.
Oh, Deftones.
Oh yeah,
that's what he thinks. But that's like, rough.
Wow,
that sounds rough.
Deftones a lot. Yeah. But that's me and being ignorant to that vein of like music, you know. Like, but it definitely sounds like something that came after like new metal.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what we might do. Right. I mean. That's the thing. He's my dog. I'm always going to hit him up for if he can do some stuff. Right now, he's kind of getting into a spot right now where it's like he has some family going on. So, I mean, I understand. Yeah. I had family
tied up
early.
For a little while. Right. Yeah. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult to get together and record. And really, not even that. It's to mix and master stuff.
Right.
I've been hanging on to this fucking EP for a year.
Yeah.
And you know,
just can't get it done with the
it's done now. I have one more track to lower down his vocals one dB, and that's it. But I have to get in there in the middle of the living room to boot up my computer and go and grab my fucking mixer and plug it in just so I can go. And it's gonna take 5 seconds, but there's always something, right? Mm-hmm. There's always something going on, and you're not gonna have time unless you make time. Right. And that's a big challenge when you get to, you know, a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. Like their birthdays are on the same day, and that's this Friday.
Oh yeah, it's particularly a rough time.
Yeah, in particular, I mean, it's
no,
it's always a rough time.
Yeah. That's definitely very young. So I was curious. I was going to ask that, but
No, it's like, funny. No, my older daughter, she has a vocal part on.
Oh, nice.
On our second album that you listen to on Doomless.
And then she's like a little tiny, like
she's tiny.
And she's like
two months old, and she's doing the little kind of fry vocal fry things that those infants do. Going, And so she ends up going, and I time stretched it out in Pro Tools, and then added like a big huge like plate, you know, reverb on it, and then pitched it down like two octaves so it goes.
What is this?
Yeah.
Like
and then buried it, you know, brought it down 4 dB from like the surface. Yeah, so if you know what you're listening for, you'll hear it. So now go back and
that's awesome, because I love that kind of incorporating, you know, different things like that. I mean, or just sounds or other people.
Well, when we talked to the Gazette about our first album, before it even, I don't know how the guy found out about that thing being released.
I posted something on Facebook
coming out soon. And we did a phone interview with him. But we got a few explosions in there. Really, it's on Inquisitor. Yeah, when it goes to the double picking.
He likes to do stuff. We're an odd couple. He's a little bit this way. I'm a little bit that way. Yeah. He's a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll.
So let me just ask this last question, and then we can kind of get into... I wanted to talk a little bit about the album.
Sorry to hold you up.
Oh, no.
But, we're at 41 minutes, and we haven't even gotten into any questions, because you won't shut the fuck up.
No, you guys answered most of them. I mean, like, everything that I've had so far. But the other thing is, like, what other... Do you have any other creative hobbies or interests outside of music at all? Like, I'm always curious to ask this of people, just because usually if you're...
He likes to smoke meat.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, like a barbecue, that's a whole like art in and of itself, right? Like,
oh, for
there's
sure.
There's a ton of that goes into that. I mean, cooking, too, is a...
No, I love to cook almost every
night. Yeah, I hate cooking.
Yeah. I'm similar. I mean, I... I want to like cooking, but I just I don't.
I'm like, if I fuck it up, I've just wasted money. Yeah, exactly. Where I could have just spent money.
I think of like the time. I hate the time it takes to like do so much of that stuff. It's like, man, I could be doing this or that. It's like I'm very precious with my time as it is. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
fair. Not only do you have to like prep it, you have to cook it, and you got to clean up, and you got to eat it. Oh my gosh!
I like the eating part.
Right, me too.
But yeah, so.
I like to do music stuff. Yeah, like I'd like to do music. I do a little bit of like miniature gaming here and there. Yeah. I've Dungeons and Dragons. Like
tabletop stuff.
I play some video games.
HeroClix.
HeroClix and stuff for a little bit, but mainly music. Like
is huge on that.
I got like side projects out the wazoo. Mm-hmm.
For other bands and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
you played projects a couple of times or whatever with Bird Drugs.
Right. So like two things that I'm coming up and plugging and everything. Not that I really like to do that.
Yeah. No, go for it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I have permission.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, Massa Bug. Yeah. Anyway, so Weirder Wednesday with Evan Jarvix of Make Oklahoma Weirder. I'm doing a it's called
Jarvix is awesome.
DJ Arthur and the Knights of the Sound Table. Okay. So I know
that's awesome.
So I'm doing like a Monty Python sample flip DJ set. So it's cool. it's like lo-fi Monty Python beats to get drunk to and dance.
So when are you doing that?
That is this month, the 28th, so May 28th.
May 28th, that's awesome.
And
I'll try to make it out to that. Cause I've only been to Weirder Wednesday one time, I think, and it's like I would go there more often. I feel like it's all the way in Norman, it's like that whole...
Right. Yeah.
But now, I mean, I do have...
No, the motivation's different.
Yeah,
he lives in Norman, I live super close to Norman. I've made out a few more, but I could totally 100%
I love that. Because I just love the experimental stuff, and to me, it's like you go there, and it's so like inspiring to see somebody doing something super weird and different with music that you've probably never seen before.
Yeah, it's like you're really getting out there.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's like I could get out
there. Jarvix really like created a space for that type of like. Yeah. It's almost like a creator, fueled kind of thing. So like people who have played come out and go see other people just because they're like, you want to see what's going on. You want to see the strange and weird people that, you know, you kind of click with on some sort of level.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I don't want to try to make it out to more of those, especially now my schedule is, like I said, I was telling you earlier, that was very flexible. So as long as I know about something, it's like, okay, I can just make sure to go. So I'll try to come out and see you for that.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I'm involved with is a dissociation out of Norman.
Yeah,
Justin is my boy. Shout out, Justin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like ambient noise, you know, very experimental. And
Are you doing... So are both of these solo things?
So that one's solo. This other one is on July 5th, 7-5 on a Friday at Resonator, which shout out Resonator. We're just shouting out everybody because seriously, Resonator is like wonderful people. And
Curtis and Tammy are amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and what you're talking about, that creative kind of spirit and freedom, Resonator really kind of helps.
Oh, they foster that.
So anyway, I'm doing something with my friend James. Okay. I don't know the name of the project. We're just doing some ambient stuff,
but that's
cool.
Yeah, because I've been to one of the dissociation shows too. That was like last summer when they were doing at the art what's it called, Uncanny
Book. Art House. The UA.
Yeah, that place is cool.
They mentioned us.
That's in Norman.
That was that the NMF.
They were like some sort of
that they had.
There was some sort of room or something.
This past year for sure. But those guys are cool too, so that's awesome. We are now taking donations to help support Rhythm and Wit. It's called buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit, and that is where you can go and just donate any number, any amount. I think that what they do is it's called Buy Me a Coffee. You can buy us one cup of coffee. costs $5, so you can just donate $5, and that will maybe buy one of us a coffee.
Yeah, so we'll sip on it together.
We'll split it. So you can do that, or you can buy us 10 cups of coffee if you wanted to. So, I mean, that's like a $50 donation, and then that's all goes there. You can leave us a message on there, and if you do leave us a message, we will certainly read it on the air, and thank you for your support. And any of the money that we take from Buy Me a Coffee or any donations at all, we are going to use to put back in the show, whether it's buying new equipment, maybe some mics or cameras or lights or anything like that, or maybe even promoting and just trying to grow the audience, because that's something that I'd like to get into, is, you know, buying some ads and things like that to try to grow our audience that way.
Absolutely.
And of course that costs money, so we would love it if you could support us. If you have the means, please go to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. Rhythm and wit. So let me just go.
I'm not doing anything else musically.
Well, he's creating a band with his kids.
I'm creating a band with my kids. I'm going to be teaching my daughter to play drums.
Hey, what was that? What was that band way back in the day? The 1-2-3 Snap Clap band or whatever, and they had like the...
I know there's the Sugar Free All Stars.
Oh, dude, played with them once.
We did not.
At the Bora Bora. At the Bora Bora, dude.
I remember that place, too.
I don't believe it.
With, they had two old CRT monitor TV things in the front of the stage, and they had like a video playing through them. Yeah, no, we played it. It wasn't the same as the Red Light Massacre show. It wasn't. The guy had a dildo on the front of his.
What? Okay, man, you're at a different. They're at that club where they like to wee on each other.
No, we used to run lights up there. With
Tony.
Tony, yeah.
Tony Mahone.
Yeah, nice. We used to run lights with the other bands. Anyway.
Yeah, I remember that place because my band back in the day. Me and Nick Campbell was also typically on this show. Our first band was called Aliens versus Robots. We played in like 2006 to like 2012.
I remember a kite flying robot. Alien versus Robot.
Yeah, that was we were the Alien versus Robots. I feel like I've seen
flyers with.
Yeah,
that
we played for like 6 years. So I mean, we definitely all around Oklahoma City, Norman back then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But I remember we played at Bora Bora once.
It was kind of a weird venue.
It was cool though. I liked it.
It was big, but you know, the draw.
Yeah, it was. But that area is a lot different now than it
now,
was.
Now, yeah, for sure. Yeah, back then it was real hit or miss.
Yeah.
You could have 80 or you could have 6.
I remember literally we would outside of that club was the Pump, which was literally just an abandoned gas station.
It was an abandoned gas station. I was going to say it was not the Pump. Yeah. It was dilapidated, like condemned.
It was horrible, but I definitely have memories of the Pump, but way before it was what it is now. But so I wanted to jump into your music a little bit and just kind of go through some of the first album was the full length album Chuggernaut. Which I thought was awesome. I listened to everything today, and I mean, obviously saw you guys play at Norman Music Fest, so I was familiar with some of the songs, or at least they.
Yeah, we didn't play any Chuggernaut at that show. Okay. We only played.
It must have been the EP, right?
Then. Right, we played the EP and some new stuff that.
The EP is also, also very
except
good.
For those people that started chanting Chuggernaut at the end. So
they kept yelling at my face, so I was like, okay, I will play.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that.
I felt pressure. It was pure pressure.
I know. It was totally pure pressure, yeah.
I think, to me, I guess, at least two of the songs that I think stood out to me, at least, that I wanted to shout out was the song Chuggernaut. I think that seems like you think that's kind of a fan favorite?
That's our usual closer. Yeah. That's like the fan favorite. Yeah. It's got the funny intro where I'm cracking a beer and chugging it.
I already drank the last of mine just a second. Are you going to recreate
it right now?
No, definitely.
Actually, I'll just like recreate it, but don't drink the whole beer.
Yeah, that's that nice. I like that.
No, it was...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but that was close enough. But so yeah, no.
But yeah, that song is great, and like that's why I noticed.
Good on that mic, didn't it?
Yeah, no, that sounded great. I noticed on that song too, because you guys are both vocalists, and you definitely have the more deeper growly voice, right? Is that
no,
right?
No, he's the clean.
Okay,
I'm actually the
maybe
clean
I had
that
backwards. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I assumed. But yeah, I like that.
I look more manly, and my vocals should be more.
He's the one that is the.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I assumed it was the opposite, but I mean, I just listened to it, so I was making this.
You're saying that I'm more effeminate.
Yes, that's what he's saying. He's saying you look like a bitch.
Because I remember watching you guys perform, and I thought that was awesome that you were drumming and doing vocals,
yeah,
and I was like,
yes.
That's impressive.
He,
sure.
What he does is, and we no clout, I mean, no like trying to deny it, like being able to sing, being able to play drums and support it like that.
Yeah, no,
he is
awesome.
The man.
But yeah, I love
subdivide your face off.
Yeah. I love the combination of you guys' vocals on that song in particular. At least that definitely stood out to me on that. The other one I really liked on that album, I mean, all of it's great. I think Iron Chungus.
Chungus.
I like that song a lot.
We played that on Friday. Yeah, you know, we've played that song live a total of like three
really?
Times.
Yeah.
Maybe like five.
Maximum five. Yeah, like
I don't know. It was like some. It got. It was a casualty of like me just like progressing and just wanting to just write like, new stuff and write, you know, new songs.
It's got a long intro, and you know, Smoke Jumper is another one that has a long intro, and we were like, let's foreshorten it a little bit because that's like the instrumental one. Mm-hmm. But Iron Chungus is like the same thing,
right?
Where it's like super simple, and it's got a boring intro until the solo kicks in. It's just flat out. It really is. I mean, but
you're creating tone and ambiance and this whole wall
you're
up.
But
right.
No, you're just in your own work. You're the one that mixed it and mastered it. So you said that sucked.
Oh no! No. I can only work with the product I'm given. I can't like do. I can't make it better musically. All I can do is adjust the dial.
Tweak the knob.
Yeah, but
no, like I said, definitely a lot of it. It definitely is. I like the variety of kind of genres almost.
It's got some thrashy stuff.
Just because, like, it can get. It's obviously all just heavy, but then you can kind of go into more melodic guitars and.
For sure.
Kind of go back and forth, which I think is cool because it's like you listen to the album and it is like kind of like a up and down kind of very nicely arranged, I think.
You know, and really that Chuggernaut album was his more or less his brainchild, you know, when he came to me, you know.
That was the whole idea
He had it like 80% done.
Nice. Okay.
And then once we started adding drums and like trying to play along with it, then stuff started shifting around just a little bit. But mostly, I mean, it kind of stayed where it was when he brought it
like
to me.
70-30.
Kind of like the bones.
Yeah.
Still
right.
Exactly.
I brought
that. I mean, I added some. I added some ideas of like, what if we arranged it like this, or what if we played this part here? Like, I was kind of like the Lars to his Hetfield, if you want to go to Metallica.
Right.
You know, like he's like the grand producer of that band, kind of deal. That's really, and that's kind of my role with this one. I mean, I've written a few riffs, but yeah, it was done. I mean, really.
He's able to take what I have in my head and like kind of translate
awesome.
It, and like I can't clone myself to play drums because I don't play drums that well.
Yeah.
So he can help get that to fruition, and then also he's just been like I can throw a little bit of production like ears and be like, oh, it sounds. I think maybe this and like this.
Yeah.
And like so, and like between our first album, Chuggernaut. And the second EP.
Oh, listen to the quality
the
of
the Lummix, our Lummix EP. It's just like is we learned a whole bunch of.
Oh my god! Yeah, and
just
we
like deep listening to songs that I like. I'm like, how are they mixing this? How are they layering this? How are they panning and all this different shit to get to this end project that sounds so heavy?
Yeah,
and that's kind of took that next step. And then with our upcoming one, it'll be another step up.
Yeah,
so this whole band is a learning process about how to take. a DIY idea and just like keep building upon itself.
That's great.
And learning from it.
I think that's something that I always try to think about for myself as a engineer producer too, is like hopefully everything I make is better than the last thing, you know, or at least mixed better and
so
done better.
Far,
yeah,
that's
so,
the way ours seems
I think
to be
that's,
going.
Or at
hopefully
least different enough to stand out and, you know, look at it and go be like, wow, I didn't think I could do this, but I did.
But yeah, so yeah, and you released your second release was Lummix in 2023, and it was a 4-song EP. I was reading the article that Brett wrote about you guys, and it mentioned the first song, Inf Moot. How it's the Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, we're nerds. We love nerds. We actually had at that Norman Music Fest on Friday. We had a moment where we're about to sing a song about Lord of the Rings and Nolan from Psychotic Reaction. Yeah. I'm like the shards of, and he like calls out Narsil, and we're like, oh nerd, because we like to give him guff and stuff. But then some other nerd tried to outdo him, and he's like, no, it's Andoril, and I was like, I don't think that sounds right, but we called him a nerd anyway. Yeah. We said, oh, nerd competition. But later, I looked up. I looked up because I was like, it didn't sit right with me. And I was like, Nolan was right, because shards of Narsil are what they were before when they're sitting on the table. Mm-hmm. Andoril is what it is when it's reforged. That's the name of the sword. So they're both technically kind of right, just to give each nerd his due.
Right.
Nolan. But Nolan was more right.
Yeah, he was more. Yeah.
And he took it in a public nerd shaming way. And I will just say, Nolan, my boy.
Hell yeah. Shout out Nolan. He's great. I was thinking about him.
Fuck you, Nolan.
We actually played Stolen Cable, I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Right.
We played Stolen Cable play with Psychotic Reaction and like a couple of years ago at the Opolis. And I remember.
You guys are definitely more punk and stuff. Say, so
yeah,
like,
it was more like indie garage.
I thought the Brad from Turbo Wizard played with them with Stolen Cable for a minute. And I was saying that to him, and I guess
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, what was that other one that he played with? I thought he played with somebody.
Maybe it's somebody with a similar name.
I guess it was somebody else. I was like wigging out. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
No.
I wanted him to correct me real quick.
But at that show, I was talking to Nolan for a long time, and obviously, Psychotic Reaction goes back to. I mean, Aliens vs. Robots played with Psychotic Reaction too.
Oh yeah. Nolan was Continuum played with.
Right. We is Nolan That's, back then versus yeah. Nolan now. Yeah.
I never really knew him back then. I knew of the band obviously, and they would book us and have us open all the time. But I finally.
Machine.
I got to talk to
Bobby and Nolan, the nicest guys ever.
I got to talk to him a little bit at that show, and I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, I need to have him on a podcast soon because
the two of them. In
yeah,
here,
they would They're, be very, very good, and just talk about this touring and all the stuff that they do.
They would be your 3-hour
block. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's
they would fill it. Yeah,
for sure. So yeah, one day, like I said, I've got lots of ideas for people that I want to have over here, but it's just all about timing.
I mean,
and figuring
do you have Evan Jarvix on it?
Yeah, well, we've interviewed him before, but not a real podcast. Okay. Podcast, but
Electra,
Electra,
Justin
Electra.
From Dissociation.
Yeah,
I think
of course, they're all on my list. All
right,
even some of the people from the Opolis. It's like I would like to get some of those guys.
Sarah.
Or figure out maybe go there and do one or something.
Oh yeah,
but,
Opolis should because that's a great
doing,
co-op.
Yeah, what they're
and
doing
obviously
is
keep having Kenna on for the group. You know, like do that. Yeah, she.
Yeah,
yeah. I watched that interview. Yeah. That was a good one.
Thanks.
She's super nice.
Yeah,
I love seeing her come out. Yeah, and they came out with she came out with for Dinosaur Boyfriend after us. You know, us and, that was.
It was a great Norman Music Festival.
Yeah, it really
this year.
Was.
I got to see so many cool bands.
We can get into that too, because obviously we did a whole episode with Kenna about it, or at least what she and I experienced. That's what is so interesting about it, is because you can't see everything, even if you want. I mean, there's no way. But it's like you kind of see what you can see, and then I like to.
I feel like if I can get a solid 10 to 15 minutes of a band,
right,
and get I've checked off a band that
I was there.
I can be well, just like you get a sense of that, and you know, and it's like I think that's the point of Norman Music Festival.
Right.
It's to bring so many people, so many different types of bands together in such a kind of a small space that you can do that. And you can check it. And you know, if you're feeling something, you stay long.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're not feeling it, you go on. But you still checked it out.
What I always like about it, too, because you can just walk down the block and then hear something. And it's like, oh, I got to go see what's going on.
Let me dip in here real quick.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, we're outside and we're like, and they're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go over there.
Well, and that's interesting because one of the reasons, you know, one of the many reasons why I was interested in to talk to you guys was that she had mentioned that you guys were the only metal band to play
2 years in a row.
I think sucks because obviously there should be, I mean, there's a huge variety of music out there, but it is like, you know, not enough, I think. Whereas, like, you should have, there definitely are more metal bands. But, I mean...
There should have been, like, one outdoor stage that's focused on, like, heavy
Why
punk,
not the alley
heavy
stage?
Metal, heavy, you know, just hardcore, whatever that they have, because there's so much out in Oklahoma.
There is a demand for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and definitely, I think, for the audience, for sure, because I remember growing up, I mean, whenever we were playing in 2008 and stuff, I feel like the metal scene was way bigger than it is now.
It was a different type of metal scene. It wasn't, I feel like, and you know, again, I wasn't a super big part of that scene,
so I can't speak too much.
But to me, it seemed, you know, it was the Hinder. It was like this hard butt rock that was like coming out that was like... That was just, oh man, have you seen like the Rocklahoma lineup this year? No. It's just like, you're like, no, I do not want to see Five Finger Death Punch.
I'm sure,
haven't they played? Yeah. I'm sure they've already been here for that.
Not to Cunt Puncher.
Cunt Puncher. Anyway.
Because
they're awesome.
Yeah. Well, and
Kane's a great
And I think
vocalist.
That. But Rainbows Are Free did play on one of the bigger stages.
They did. They got to play the alley stage.
So
the alley stage is definitely
the
one. That should be the one because Locust Grove played there. Sisteria. Mm. I like to say Sisteria. Yeah. But it's Sisteria. It's Sisteria, but I like to say Sisteria. It sounds funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
But Rainbows Are Free and Cliff Diver, which is kind of more of like emo punk.
Yeah, they're kind
like,
of
you know, sure. stuff like
they're,
that.
They're good.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, we need, like, just some heavy metal.
Heavier,
we need
some
heavy stuff out there, and I don't think that people are going to be scared away. I think that people are going to embrace it more than
so that's
anything.
Or, I mean, and if they are, it's sequestered.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's further west.
The thing,
it's
they
like,
can go to the main
there's,
stage.
Like, two other stages.
It's behind guest room,
right.
You know, sort of. Like, it's
no one's
right
behind
over the
red brick.
You know, it's fine. Yeah. Well, no, you're talking about it's behind Red Brick. Oh, that's the one?
That's
the alley
stage. Alley,
right?
Alley
stage, okay.
Because they have the West stage, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the one. I think they do a lot of like more hip-hop stuff on that side.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
it was
right, that was
like the more trendy one because that was by Legally Brewed and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was a little more trendy. Mm-hmm. I forget who was playing on that stage.
I know Cage, Cage is a hip-hop...
No, it was like Waves in the original Flow.
Yeah.
They played on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw some good footage from that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm trying to get a burp out. But yeah, so the West Stage is definitely more. I feel like when I was down there, I was like, I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, West Stage last year was actually.
The West Stage was the one where I think that's
like
Train Dodge
yeah,
and
Train
Psychotic
Dodge
Reaction.
Is, yeah.
They
yeah,
were trying to do it over there, but I think it didn't take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then so they're trying to maybe do the Alley Stage, but now they're like, oh, is that too big of a crowd? Are we giving up? And then I forget what that other stage was that was like behind Bison Witches, you know, by all the fair food and stuff. Mm-hmm. I forget which stage that was called.
See, that's the one I was talking about.
That's what you thought it was.
Yeah,
but no, that when I walked by it, they were having some like bad sound issues.
They were,
And I don't know if that was because of the water.
The rain,
or,
the rain screwed up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even make it out Saturday. I only made it Thursday night, which was my favorite day, I think, is Thursday because it's something, it's like almost like more exclusive feeling in a way because there's less people.
The real ones come
out.
Yeah,
it's like nobody, nobody's like, oh, I don't want, they usually skip Thursday, but I mean, there's a
street's not shut down.
Yeah. I love Thursday night though, but yeah, I didn't make it out to see any of the big stages this year, but also to me it didn't have as I don't know there wasn't enough acts that I was super excited to see on Saturday either.
Yeah, I mean, but, gone are the days from NMF for, like, you know, you got Portugal, dude, the man that played way back.
Man was my favorite. Man, I mean, was the
very
one I got
first
to see.
Ever one.
The sword was there.
Yeah, the I remember. One, I think I remember seeing them that year too,
dude. I mean, what was the first one? It was the big, you know, 30-piece, like, what are they called?
Polyphonic Spree.
Polyphonic Spree. That was the very first NMF.
Yeah, they've had some really good
acts. I'd love to have them back.
It's one of those together festivals that goes up and down with, how it's going in the world. I mean, unfortunately, they put their festival at the end of, like, April.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's a weird time.
That's prime time for touring. I mean,
it's a prime time for rain.
Yeah.
Well, that too. Yeah, but, I mean, exactly. That's why you wouldn't get a heavy stage with, like, say, or something in the UK or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
There's other festivals going on the other side of the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
But I don't know. I mean, I do think that could be one of the solutions is to finding but when else do you do it? I feel like it is, no matter what, there's going to be other things going on.
Right.
So
we'll NMF see. Lucks out better than the medieval fair every time.
Right. That's true.
So, I mean, my God, medieval fair has been screwed over for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Back to my medieval beats.
Let me see what I want to jump. Let me jump to a little bit of these kind of third section of questions. When was some of your favorite past performances? Like, was there any super memorable shows or stories that you guys have had? Or any big stages?
Top three. I'll give like at least one, then you can come back. So my favorite was at the High Low, and it was like one of the last shows at the High Low when it was kind of closing down. Mm-hmm. That was with Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol, and it was kind of a special thing. Like, you see a lot of people that you knew, and then just, you know, a lot of old people that are at the bar that have always been there, and then we're playing with this awesome band that I love and have just found out about, and that's one of my favorites.
I love the High Low. We played there a few times back with Aliens vs. Robots and way back in the day, and it was always a great stage. It's always like one of those things where
it's intimate.
Sometimes like the whole bar would just, they don't even like look at you. They're doing their own thing, but it's still full. I mean, they're still hearing you.
They're like, either against you, either looking at you, or they're totally engaged with you.
Right. Or it's like, it is those bands I've been to shows where it's like everyone's so into it. But yeah, I always loved it. Either way, it was still a full bar full of people, which was a good show. So,
all right.
I would say, not to bring it down or anything, but we used to play with this other band called Burn the Witness, and their bass player, Peter, was just amazing. I played his Rickenbacker before he ever bought it at Guitar Center.
Like, yeah.
but he had this red Rickenbacker. Nice. He also had a blue one. But we played with them, you know, at Studio 360 several times, but he ended up passing away while they were out on tour down in Texas. Anyway, we had a memorial show for him at the conservatory, and the amount of love and support that came out of that, you know, and I mean, just people showed up to see, you know, the rest of his band play and the supporting acts. We were one of them because we played with them, you know, several times and stuff, and was just good friends with them.
Shout out Jason Salthouse, I think is his name.
I know Jason, actually.
You know Jason?
That's so weird that, like, his wife is a piano player and singer.
Oh, he's awesome. I love that kid.
She was amazing, and we were actually starting a group, she and I, with another drummer. And that's why I met him. And that's interesting because
so many nice words.
That
about
was
us.
His band, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the drummer. Know, they recorded their album that. At Studio 360.
That's crazy because I know that story from them. Now that you're telling me too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What was the name of the group that you guys were trying to do?
Oh, we were called Astrolux. We had we didn't even have a show. We had done some, you know, trying to put together. Like, she had a bunch of songs.
Never heard of you.
We did Factory Obscura open mic was like the only performance we did.
That would be so cool.
So like
you couldn't set up your drums.
Yeah,
fast
it was
enough.
But yeah, anyways, hopefully she's doing well. I haven't talked to her in a while, but I know he's like putting books together. Yeah, he's doing all that stuff.
He's got a lot of stories to tell. Yeah, he's like for sure. Got a High on Fire story where he's like getting called out by Matt Pike, which is like a legend in stoner doom metal. So.
Favorite show that I went to, one of my favorites, was seeing High on Fire for the first time. I didn't know who they were, and I saw High on Fire with Meshuggah. Because I went
for Meshuggah,
and it was at the House of Blues in Dallas, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and oh man, that was such a great show. That was such a great. And then Meshuggah came up there, and they were everything that I always wanted. Yeah. You know, expected them to be. They're just up there on the very front of the stage, hanging ten. You know, just
nice.
so crazy. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, but anyway, no, that show at the conservatory was just killer.
So, and that was with our old band and our other
Sleepless
stuff.
Continuum.
So, we're like intergenerational band.
As far,
and then I would just say off and on this last Norman Music Fest was really fun.
Yeah,
like, it really was. Playing through Chuggernaut in its entirety. Because
we had two different sets that we didn't play any song crossovers except for Chuggernaut.
Yeah.
So it was just really cool to see people that, you know, came out both nights or people that could only make one, but people sing along and people knowing words. And so it was just really fun. Nice. I really liked that. And there's like other ones. Blue Note is an awesome place. And Resonator is a wonderful place. Yeah. And 89th. We've got a cool scene up here. It's just like, it seems like metal bands like to do the big, and a lot of other acts too, like to do the big circle around Oklahoma where they don't.
Around Oklahoma.
Right. Or sometimes they're like, they'll drop on the East Coast, up on the West Coast, all around it. And it's just like,
maybe we'll go to Dallas.
Yeah.
And some bands that used to kind of come through sometimes are not coming through anymore. And other bands are that, you know, haven't been through before come through too. So,
yeah.
You know, and people like us or people, you know, like.
There's like the band Telekinetic Yeti, just shouting out other doom metal bands. Mm-hmm. They're from like Iowa or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came through. So
they're a two piece as well.
Yeah. Nice. They are a two piece. It was like a big two piece night. It was weird. So it's like, it's the metal scene and like the music scene in Oklahoma, I think in general, like we get those big acts that come through sometimes, but also there's other times where it feels like big circle around just Oklahoma,
skipping over.
So I got to go down to Texas.
Yeah,
so many
I think
times.
That's something about it. I think for me, in my mind, the solution to that, I think that we need to make it more enticing for those
people
to come through.
Well, we need more bands, you know, I don't want to say like us, you know, but we need more bands that can get that kind of a draw that they're looking for. And, I don't know who you pick to get that. I mean, but you need to get somebody that can get that draw to get some people coming out, you know, that'll just for instance, you know, they'll come for us, but then stay for them and say, hey, I love this genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
Who else plays this? Who are these guys? I don't even know them, or I've heard of them. But I'm, you know,
Tulsa is really
picking
up a lot
to
of
it.
This stack.
Yeah,
they're closer to it than OKC.
Tulsa
sure.
is I've, in my opinion too. Since I mean, I've gotten to play there like twice ever, and like it was always so much better than any show that I've ever played here. It's like the turnout. At
Whittier
least.
Bar is like
Whittier's
the place. They are the place. Oh, they are now the new home for metal, I think, in OKC.
Yeah,
I mean, in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And just like the work that they do there is awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's great. I obviously know about it and heard of it. I don't know that I've ever been there, actually, but I know.
They've had some pretty big names come through there. Yeah, they really have.
Well, I got to see
Beelzebong.
No, not Beelzebong. Beelzebong. Yeah. I was about to say Bongzilla. No, but Beelzebong. Sorry. I'm getting too high, I guess. It was a bong something. Bong wizard. Bongzilla.
Blunt bongula. You know.
We got bong, 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 spam, and more bong.
Mm-hmm.
But
bong T Python and the holy blunt.
There we go. But they've just really like and they get that little loop up there by like what are those bigger cities like St. Louis and stuff?
You got Wichita. That's like, you know. So yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. To come to Tulsa, you just have to barely dip your toe into Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
You have to
come to the dead ass.
Right. You don't got to put your whole body in the whole chat pile.
Right.
Fucking. And then staying on the same kind of, I mean, that was great for sure. Definitely what I was looking for.
Answered your question,
As far as like the venues, even, it's I love to hear about the venues and like and even like the Whittier. It's like I wasn't.
Oh yeah,
I mean, as familiar that they were that kind of heavier style. There.
Check out Ectospire; they're really good.
Ectospire is like black metal.
Yep. Is that a band? Or
Ectospire. Yeah. They got their guitar player from fucking
Cooper.
Cooper Wingo.
Cooper's a fun dude.
Yeah, he's
venues, like we've already shouted out so many venues, but like Red Brick and Blue Note and Resonator and
Railhead, we're hoping to get down
Railhead
to,
down, and that's in Lawton, but like 51st Street, I think. Speakeasy is still
we
doing
played
shows
there once with Sleepless,
and that's the thing, we're biased. We're like, what shows, what places will play metal,
right?
Not a whole bunch of play metal, so we're like naming a whole bunch of,
especially, Speakeasy, for instance. I mean, they seem to be even going away from even just rock music in a
serious
way.
Yeah, dude. They're really just like indie pop. Yeah, pop rock. Yeah,
I don't know. They used to do a lot more, just a lot of variety. But anyways,
this episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell and Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellAndSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time.
You guys have any shows coming up that you're looking forward to?
So we've got a. It's gonna be something like October 3rd or 4th or 10th or 11th. It's one of those I was talking to Curtis about
putting something together
for Norman Music Festival. Yeah, no, he hit us up. He was like, "We're gonna have a guy come in and do a workshop. He's coming in from New York to do like this thing, and then we're gonna have a couple of bands play." Okay. And he was like, "You guys were the first up on the list, so he's having us and then one other band out that first or second weekend. He didn't have it nailed down just yet, so we're gonna be playing at Resonator at that point.
Yeah,
so, and then there might be something that pops up in between.
Now. Yeah,
I don't know. We're trying to put out this new EP. We're just trying to like." I don't know.
And you got to find time to rehearse.
It's about 10:30.
If this world would just like stop being so fucking crazy, and if like his life would like chill out, and if my life would chill out, and if we could all just, I don't know, get along, peace and harmony.
Okay, so I got like maybe two more questions.
Okay.
We don't have to go too much longer.
All right, fine. Yeah. Get us the hell out of here. It's fine.
No,
it's 7 o'clock, but we can go. Let's take another question or two for sure.
Okay, so, well, these are one question I like to ask.
Question, please. No questions. Want this.
So, like, what is like some of the challenges that you feel like you've encountered, like trying to play metal music in Oklahoma? Is there like kind of, you know what I mean? We're very like country and red dirt state.
I mean, I had to deal with him a lot,
I mean, obviously, we talked a little bit about, playing, being a two-piece is a lot easier than having a full band, but any like challenges that you can that stick out that you've kind of feel like,
man,
you...
if there are people that want to create a space for certain types of music to be heard, it usually gets made one way or another.
Yeah.
Like I said, like the people at the Sanctuary, the Blue Note for a long time was that kind of thing. Yeah. And then they kind of switched hands. Yeah. But even then, they're creating a vision of what they want to do. They do jazz every Sunday night.
Yeah. And they're still doing heavy music. They're just doing it less often. So they're still keeping that open, which is nice. However,
but there are places like 89th. 89th
exclusivity to it.
89th Street is probably the place if you want to go for heavy metal whatever type of heavy music you want. Mm-hmm. They have it on tap.
And one place that I wish was located somewhere different is Grand Royale.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
They are a great well,
they're a great idea.
I'm
going
to say they're a great idea. Yeah. Like the venue leaves something to be desired.
It's like a punk rock venue in a bougie plaza district.
Mm-hmm. It's it's the right place. You know,
it's like we need more places.
It's the wrong place,
but
the right venue. You know, that shit needs to be down in Norman.
Yeah,
honestly, it needs to be closer to, you know, like a Blue Note type of thing. It needs to be like a smaller version of in Tower. Mm-hmm. You ain't getting in there.
We got big opinions on Bug Knot. We're just like, the scene should be like this. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, we've played there, and, you know, we've been
at
offered
Tower?
To play there. No. Yeah, right.
Funny story. Funny story. We got kicked out of Tower.
Yeah, we went to see Marty Friedman and Scale of Summit.
Which are big, like, prog metal dudes. And so we're down there.
Having 8 and 9 string guitars.
And we're all like, yeah. And then we're like, let's sneak around upstairs because we saw JB outside and he's like a big hip hop dude that's in the scene. And so we're like, let's go sneak around upstairs and see if we can see anybody getting anywhere. And we're like, well, let's sneak around.
Let's go into the green room.
We get to this door that's like, you can't, you know, the door handle's on the other side. And we're like, oh,
but then
it's
there's
JB
a window.
And the opening and all this dude, we're like, and they're like, and they walk, and then like we walk around and like security's like, hey,
you guys gotta go.
And so we're like,
and they escorted us out to the alley in the back.
No, they kicked us out the front. They kicked us out the front. And so I was like,
go around it.
Fuck this. And we go around to the alley. And I'm like, I know there's a back door. Yeah, and I know there's going to be some security there. And so we're walking. Security had just come in from a smoke break.
Just
and we
came back
breeze
in
right behind him. And we go right up front to Marty Friedman. And we finished the show. Yeah. No.
That's awesome. That's a
and
good
it
story.
Was during, it was like, it was, we didn't miss a song from either band. Yeah. Like Scale of Summit went on. And then in
we
the
missed
interview,
like, maybe like one
the,
song.
One of Marty Friedman. And that's it. Yeah. Like,
nice.
And that's, yeah.
Well, that
you
been,
can't keep
yeah.
Bug Knog down.
For sure. That's awesome.
We too
definitely
relentless.
could have been a disaster. I would hate to have, like, you gotta go home now. What?
Right. Nah, dude. Yeah, no. Yeah.
He had paid for my ticket, so I had no, you know. I was on the go.
Actually, my buddy paid for my ticket, so I was only out one ticket for him.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was I that buddy? I was that buddy. Yeah. I would pay for that ticket.
That was Keith.
Okay, whatever.
So let me see. I guess kind of the last question is like, where do you see, or what's next for Bug Knog?
This isn't an interview, right? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I was curious about, like, or at least to wrap it up, right? It was like, I know you're working on a new EP. Is there, like, any timeline that you have in mind?
This year,
when
it has
you
to be this year, I'm going to punch him.
Yeah.
30 days.
Yeah.
30
no,
days.
Not 30 days. It'll be a more strategic strike than that.
Yeah.
But 5 years from now, I hope that we are still holding it down for the Norman heavy scene, for Oklahoma, and trying to get more doom and metal and, you know, sludge, stoner, rock coming through here. And, you know, this is the dude that I love to play music with.
Yeah.
So I hope 5 years, you know, it keeps us
That's
going
awesome.
And keeps us sane. And, you know, it's less frequent, but it's more... It's deep learning and deep, you know, bonding versus, you know, a lot of shallow interactions.
Like
for
it.
Sure, yeah. No, we're friends first and musicians second, for sure. It's been morphing into that ever since we've been playing as, you know, Bug Knog, not Fog.
Butt Dog. Butt Smog.
Butt Smog. Oh, fuck. So.
Bug Knog.
Bug Knog.
We have all iterations
So,
of our name.
Yeah, ever since we've been playing as Fuck You, it's grown a lot better. And, you know, with Sleepless Continuum, we really were just more of, like, bandmates and stuff. And, I mean, you know, he was having a kid at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we went through the same sort of complications and being less available. And, you know,
you kind of
myself
already,
and our drummer at the time, Eric Morris, you know, he and I would commiserate all the time and just play music by ourselves. It was like, we should just fucking, you know, but
it's a big yin yang with us. Like,
he was much better at drums than I was and multi-instrumentalist. But yeah, no, like we needed him just kind of the same way, you know, to get this particular energy out the way that we need each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a yin yang odd couple type of thing. We complete each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really like a good friendship that like has like it's aged finely like wine. It started out when we were younger, and then it's just like it's evolved into
hasn't turned to vinegar yet.
It definitely seems like a similar relationship that I have with Nick Campbell too. It's like
I wish he was here.
We're very different, and like but we kind of complement, and we grow up together similarly. So it's like you kind of learn how to fit into each other's like creative, you know, fill in the creative holes in that way because you have kind of grown up together and kind of learned along the way.
Oh, same.
That's great.
Well, hey, to Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick, he's, like I said, he's always.
Not Nick Brewer.
He's very busy.
This Nick.
Oh, yeah, not Nick Brewer.
Not our friend Nick.
Fuck you, Nick.
Fuck you, Nick. Trick Nick, suck
son
a dick.
Of a bitch.
That's the one reason that why I started doing these kind of more solo interview podcasts is just because he's so busy. He's got three kids as well.
Stop That's cranking them
out, one of the
out,
reasons
man.
Why he
you guys need
stopped
to
playing
music.
Keep
them hogs in your fucking pants, Jesus.
Hey, he I got a vasectomy, man.
Yeah, there
I,
he
I,
is.
I got it. Yeah,
he took care of it.
I got it done.
Get
like
it taken care of.
If this you Nick, haven't done it,
is he vasectomy?
Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm
Nick,
pretty sure
Nick,
they're
vasectomy. Now.
Get your friend spayed and neutered.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's a good
snippet. It takes 15 minutes. It's easy.
A lot easier now than I'm
it's
sure.
It's 24 hour recovery.
All right. Well,
sorry. Yeah. I, let's just boom. That was it.
Right that was now. It.
Get a vasectomy.
All right.
Let me just see if there's anything else. But was there anything else? Well, I guess. Where can people find you guys online? Do you want to shout your social media or whatever? Like,
Bugnog Band at Instagram.
It's
at the Instagram,
Facebook.
Yeah. We are Bugnog. I think the only thing that shows up on that or like that Google search is like an African village.
Oh yeah.
There's like a weird or like a Vietnamese like, kind of like thing
like
or something.
B U apostrophe G N O G.
Bugnog. Yeah, it's something interesting. No, but yeah, it's very easy to find if you just search the name.
Yeah,
just
type it in. Yeah, the almighty Google led me to your house. It can lead you to us.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Everyone, listen to Bugnog. Go catch a Bugnog show.
Drink
and
it
support
up.
The metal scene, because I think that's something that like you guys are very passionate about growing. And
hell yeah.
Like you said, bringing those bigger acts through here I think is important.
We need to.
Yeah, I mean.
I think you guys are important to the scene because bands like you guys and like Psychotic Reaction, Rainbows Are Free and all that, they're like doing these, holding it down.
Dust
you know.
Lord. Medicine.
Yeah.
Lord.
Medicine.
All these other great bands that need to just, you know, be celebrated. That's what we're here to do. I like to celebrate other people. We do cool stuff, but they do cool stuff too.
Yeah, all right.
As far all as
right.
our part,
yeah.
better music, more timely. Let's get it out.
Let's get it out. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Well, thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
Great to talk to y'all, and we'll catch y'all on the next one. All right, peace. All right, that's it.
Yay.
Man, that was such a